Folks, if there is a missing element in our Christian life, in our discipleship, it is prayer. We're not praying for each other. And Jesus prayed. Did you know that early in the morning he would leave and go off by himself and he would pray? And who was he praying for? He was praying for his disciples.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Discipleship Intercession by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible through our worship, through the preaching, and through the way that we love and serve one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
This morning we're going to talk about intercessory prayer, but before we do that, have you ever had to get someone to intercede for you? Intercede, the word is a Latin word. Inter means between, and seed means to go. Intercede means getting someone to go between for you. I had to do that back in 1994. I was in college down in Georgia and working security on campus, and my co-guard, he went out for his rounds, came back and said, "Man, there's a pretty girl on campus, and I'm going to marry her." I said, "Oh, okay." Well, I went on my rounds a few hours later, and I saw the pretty girl. She was coming down the gym steps, and I said, "Man, there is a pretty girl. I would like to marry her. I mean, why not? I mean, he can marry. Why couldn't I?" So, anyways, a few months later, I had a chance to meet her and talk to her, but never could get to the place. Y'all know, guys know what I'm talking about? Never could get to the place to say, "Would you go out with me?" That would never happen. So I got another friend of mine who used to work security with me, Dan. I said, "Dan, would you go and talk to this girl for me?" Thank goodness Dan didn't say, "Well, you know what, I want to marry her too." You know, that would have been really bad. So Dan actually interceded for me, and thank goodness we went out on a date. So intercession, by the way, let you know, that's Nicole, okay? So I would never give you an illustration of someone other than that. Intercession means you're going not just for your sake, you're going for someone else. Now, what does that have to do with discipleship, the series on discipleship? We can pray to God for ourselves. It is wonderful to get before God and say, "God, I'm praying for this need or this desire in my heart." But intercessory prayer is when you go to God for someone else. When you go to God and say, "God, I'm coming to you, but not for me, it's for him. I'm coming to you, God, but not for my needs, it's her needs." Intercession is a vital part of discipleship. In our series on discipleship, today's the message, discipleship intercession, going in between for someone else to God. You have your Bibles with you, turn to Philippians chapter 1. Starting in verse 9, and let's all stand once again for the reading of God's word. Paul is writing to the Philippian church. He says, "And this I pray, not for me, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled," not me being filled, "but you being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Paul was a man of prayer, but even more, Paul was a man of intercessory prayers. If you read his letters, Romans, Galatians, Corinthians, what you find is that Paul often prayed for other people. Do you pray? How much do you pray for others? Did you know that a quick cure for envy, you know what envy is? You got something I don't have. I want something you have. How come you're so happy and I'm not? The quickest cure for envy is pray for that person. The quickest cure for bitterness, you got bitterness in your heart, can't forgive, pray for that other person. You'll be surprised how quickly that bitterness, that envy will just wash away. And have you ever prayed the sinner's prayer? The sinner's prayer is the first prayer you need to pray. You can pray to God, and God may even answer your prayers, but the sinner's prayer is what He's waiting for you to pray before you die. And the sinner's prayer is this: Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God who came to give His life for me. There is no other way to God but through You. I receive You as my Savior. I ask You to come into my life and be my God. Now, before we dive into this message, let me say this. For a long time, we have been praying. We're praying, God, would You help this church? Would You help Clearview to become more than just hearers of the Word? More than just coming Sunday morning and listening to the message and enjoying the worship and walking away the same. God, help us to become disciples. Help us to become established in the Word. Help us, God, to become mature in the faith. Help us, God, to become men and women of integrity, which means this: who you are outside is who you are behind closed doors. Help us, God, to become fruitful. I mean, we have only one life to live, and God has given it to us and said, go and enjoy this life, but I want to live it to the fullest. I want to live it in a way that glorifies His name. I want to live it to make more disciples into the kingdom of God. You know, this life is going to end, and another life is going to begin. And how you live this life will determine how you live that life. So God, help me to live this life in a way that will bear fruits in the life to come. After much prayer, studying the Bible, talking to experts, I believe in talking to people who know what they're doing, and even observing successful churches, looking at churches and saying, what are they doing that is different? Are the people in those churches people of integrity, people of maturity? Are those people bearing fruits? After all this study, in the past 2 months, I preached this series on discipleship. I preached this series to help our people become disciples, and it's been amazing. It's been awesome to see so many people getting plugged in, so many people getting it. I get emails and text messages and Facebook messages every week and phone calls and one-on-one counters. But people say this series has helped them tremendously. So praise God for that. I'm really, really excited. And I'm praying that God will really help all of us to grow as disciples. But now this message is on intercession. This is the last message, but last is not the least. This is a vital message. This is a critical message. It is on prayer. A disciple should be a person of prayer. A disciple should have a daily communication with the teacher. But this prayer is not just personal prayer, it is intercessory prayer, praying for other people. Paul was a man of intercessory prayer, as I mentioned to you, and I want us to see how he prayed for other people. But before we do that, let me say this very quickly. That word intercede, before you can intercede for other people, you need to seed, C-E-D-E, seed yourself to God. That word seed means to formally surrender yourself to God. You know what prayer is? Prayer is getting before God and saying, God, I don't have it together. God, I need You every single moment in my life. God, without You in my life, I will sink. I will fall apart. Unfortunately, we only do that when problems come. Unfortunately, when things begin to fall apart, health problems come and relationships begin to crumble and financial problems come. That's when we say, God, I need You. And then if answer doesn't come, we say, God, forget You. No, we need to be praying every single moment, God, without You, I cannot breathe the next breath. That's prayer. So before you can intercede, you need to first seed. Surrender yourself before God in prayer. But then when you intercede, how do you pray? Seven things that we find in this passage we just read, Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Let's look at that again. Verse 9, Paul says, and this I pray, that your, what's the word? Love may abound still more and more. You know, the word love there is the word agape. Many of you have heard that. The word agape symbolizes most of the time a divine love, a selfless love. What you're saying is, God, in this person's life, in her life, let her have agape love. You see, love is the mark of discipleship. What did Jesus say? In John chapter 13 and verse 34, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The mark of a disciple is love. But did you notice when Paul says, "I'm praying that your love may abound," he never specifies the object. He doesn't say your love for God. He doesn't say your love for other people or the lost or the saved. He just says love. You know what it means? It means comprehensive love. Means in every part of my life, there should be love. Love towards God, love towards my family, love towards my church family, love towards even my enemies, those who I don't get along with. God, let there be love. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13? Can you read this with me? "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Folks, if you're praying for me, please pray that I will be a person of love. Please pray that the way I speak would be full of love. Please pray that the way I walk will be full of love. The way I treat people will be full of love. The way I think about people will be full of love. Not just my friends, but also my enemies. Let me be a person of love. And that's my prayer for you. Lord, let him, let her be a person of love. You see, all of us are going through difficult times, and it's very easy to be hateful. It's very easy to react. But we're praying, God, help us to respond with love. And how can this love be? What does it look like? Paul says that this should be love that should be abounding. Now think about it as a clogged drain. What happens when your sink gets clogged? I mean, you know something is stuck there. It may be an old piece of meat. It may be something there that is stuck. So you have to put stuff in there. You have to force it down. You have to put some pressure. Not too much pressure or the pipes will burst. Just enough for that gunk to go out. Think about it that way. When I'm praying for you, I'm praying, God, let there be so much love that it will push out the gunk that is blocking your blessing in his life. Listen to what Peter says. You know this verse, and I want you to read this one again with me. 1 Peter 4:8. "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." You can stay up all night fighting with your wife, or you can love her the way Christ loves you. You can be angry and bitter and hateful to your husband all week long, or you can be loving. You can be that way to your neighbor. You can be with that way to your church family because they hurt you. They did not do what you were hoping they would do. Or you can be loving. It's like a torrential rain when it comes through the parking lot. There are leaves. There's pine straw. There is mud and dirt everywhere. And here comes that torrential rain. It washes all away into the drain. What you and I need is this kind of rain on a regular basis in our lives. So the first thing, Paul says, let there be love, abounding more and more. But here's number two. Listen again, and I'm going to read this verse again, so hopefully it'll be memorized. "This I pray that your love may abound still more and more in," what's the word? Knowledge. The second thing that you and I need to pray for each other is, God, let this person grow in knowledge. The word is not gnosis, knowledge, but epignosis. Epignosis every time is used in the context of love and knowledge of God. Knowledge of Christ, knowledge of His Word, knowledge of sin, knowledge of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This person over here in my inner circle, he is going through a difficult time. He is questioning, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? He is discouraged. He feels hopeless. He hears what I'm saying to him, but it doesn't make any connection. How should I pray for him? I should be praying, God, fill him with your knowledge. Let him see the hand of the Holy Spirit in his life. Let him see God, Romans 8:28, that you work all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Folks, that's what we need to pray for. These platitudes are not working. Oh, you'll have a better day. It'll be all right. Yeah, just look at the brighter side. Are you an optimist? No. Let them hear knowledge. Knowledge is not information. Knowledge is confirmation to the image of Christ. How this situation is making them more like Christ. What's the next thing? Listen to verse 9 again. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. This word that Paul uses for discernment is the word used repeatedly in the book of Proverbs. When they translated the book of Proverbs into Greek, they used this word again and again. You know what discernment really means? Is making wise decisions in life. What did Jesus say? He said it so well in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. And I want you to see this on the screen. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents. We have too many Christians who are harmless as doves, but they're not wise as serpents. Means I will never hurt you, but I know what you're up to. I believe we need more discernment. More believers who have a sense of discernment. When someone comes about and they all are lovey-dovey over you, but they are saying things that don't go along with this book, your spidey sense needs to be going off and saying, that doesn't sound right. I love you, but I ain't going with you. And not only that kind of discernment, but also discernment in your life. Many of us have friends right now, and I'm all fine with friends, but if those friends are pulling you away from God because God is not a priority in your life, your spidey sense needs to be going off and saying, I love them. We can hang out. We can go to the beach. We can spend a lot of time together, but I know you're headed this way. I'm headed towards Christ. We're not on the same page. I love you. I'll be with you. We can do life together. We're not headed the same way. What happens most of the time, please listen to me, I've been doing this for 20 years. Same church, only church. Many times I have seen Christians getting pulled away because they have the wrong people in their lives. Here's number 9 again. This I pray, hopefully this is sticking in your mind, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Approve, the word is dokimazen, which means it's like testing the quality of metals. I'm praying for my inner circle, for that gentleman, or you're praying for that lady in your inner circle. God, she's about to settle down for something when you have something so much better. Let her not settle for this. Let him not settle for this. His confidence is broken, but God, let him wait upon you. Let him approve the things that are excellent. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Which means this, I'm praying that you will choose what matters. Choose the best. Not the mediocre, the best that God has for them. And by the way, when you pray like this, it will remove every hint and every stench of envy in your heart. You know what envy is? You see somebody happy, something inside of you says, how come they're so happy? Why can't I be so happy? There's got to be something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. Something wrong with you because you have been bitten by the green-eyed monster. But now pray. God, I just pray. I saw their post on Facebook. Some of y'all read my article yesterday. I saw their post on Facebook. Lord, they look happy. I doubt they're that happy. But I pray, God, make them even happier. You know what it's going to do? Remove that hint of envy from your life. Amen? So listen to this. Then Paul says in verse 10, that you may be sincere. He keeps praying for the Philippians that they may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Life is full of snares. Life is full of temptations. In this life, in my ministry, I have seen so many people fall. I bought their books on marriage. I read their articles on how to raise children. And then have that flashing news, he cheated on his wife. She went off the deep end. She did this and he did that. What happened? They did not finish well. Now, this is not a message to make you feel worse than you were before you came in, because you may have messed up. That's not the point of what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is this. We should be praying for each other. God, help this person to be pure and blameless until you come again. Let them finish well. Let them finish the race of life well. Let them be pure and blameless. Did you know that daily Satan goes before God and says, God, can I have him? Can I have her? Did you know that Satan does that? He did it in the book of Job, in the Old Testament, but he also did it in the New Testament. He went before God and he asked for Peter. I want you to see this verse. It's on the screen. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. You see, he has to get permission from God. Can I have him? Can I have her? How many of y'all have ever woken up one morning and be like, man, I feel horrible today. I don't feel like I know what's going on in my life. I just feel rotten. I feel like there is nothing up there. I don't feel there is a God. I feel this life is just horrible. Something happened last week and it just stays with you. How many of y'all felt that way? Where do you think it's coming from? Is Satan infiltrating your mind? And some strongholds cannot be broken until a brother or a sister around you comes up and says, I'm praying for you. Then that grip is broken. He said, I don't know about that. Listen to what Jesus said to him. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Jesus interceded for Peter. I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith should not fail. Folks, I need people in my life who will pray for me that way. And you need people in your life who will pray for you that way. I'm praying for you, brother. Your faith will not fail. But it's important that we need to realize how critical and vital is that kind of intercessory prayer that helps people to finish well. By the way, let me say it quickly. Our time is short. That word for offense is not restricted to personal failing. When Paul says that you may be sincere and without offense, it also means that you may be sincere and without offending other people to the day of Christ. It means don't let your life be a stumbling block for someone else. Don't do things that's going to make someone else trip in their faith. And it's very easy to say, oh, he's doing that to my faith. No. You examine your life. Are you tripping someone else? Here's number 11. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Paul says the sixth thing that he's praying for others in the ministry is that they will have fruits of righteousness. Now, fruit by its own definition implies no self-effort. Imagine a peach tree standing out there going, today, I am going to bear fruit. Yes, we can do this. Come on. Doesn't have to. When the conditions are right, it'll bear fruit. How do you pray for other people? God, let the conditions be right in his life. Because he is daily, the world, the flesh, and the devil is messing with our ecosystem. Daily, we are being bombarded by the bugs, the critters of life that are eating away at the nutrients. What you're doing is you're praying, God, balance her ecosystem today so he can and she can bear fruits of righteousness. By the way, what is the secret of the fruit of righteousness? What did Jesus say? John chapter 15, you know this verse very well. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. The secret to fruit bearing is being connected to Christ. You cannot sit there and say, let me bear fruit. I'm going to be so much happier. I'm going to be so much sharing my faith and sharing verses everywhere. No, it's fake. Conditions are right. It follows. Connected to Christ, you cannot help but bear fruit. So what should I be praying? I should be praying, Lord, get his mind upon Jesus Christ. Get her mind upon Jesus Christ. Because the fruits will follow. And what do the fruits look like? Well, it's not just fruits. It is fruit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Look at the last one that Paul lifts up about the Philippians. To the glory and praise of God. What am I praying? I'm praying, God, in this person's life, you get the glory. You see, when we get the glory, it doesn't do anything for anyone else. When we get the praise, oh, he's awesome or she is great, it doesn't go anywhere else. But when through our lives, our troubles, God is lifted up, his kingdom grows. So what should I be praying for you, your family, your health, your marriage, your finances, your ministry? I'm praying not for you as much as for God to get the glory through you. Amen? And what do I need you to pray for me? Through his life, you get the glory. Folks, if there is a missing element in our Christian life, in our discipleship, it is prayer. We're not praying for each other. And Jesus prayed. Did you know that early in the morning he would leave and go off by himself and he would pray? And who was he praying for? He was praying for his disciples. Paul, again and again, prays for those in the ministry. And what did James say? Listen to this. James chapter 5, verse 16. Say this with me. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. He didn't say that he may be healed or she may be healed. You. All of us remain sick when we don't pray for the other person. Sick physically, sick emotionally, sick spiritually. Warren Wiersbe said this, perhaps the deepest Christian fellowship and joy we can experience in this life is at the throne of grace, praying with and for one another. I know this morning there are needs in your life. There's some deep needs in your life. Pray, pray, pray. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Pray for your needs. Pray for yourself. But listen, even more, pray for others in your life.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. It's a privilege to be able to approach God in prayer. But one of the marks of a disciple is spending time not only praying for our needs, but for the needs of others in our lives. Look to the needs of those around you and bring those before the Lord in prayer. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.